Morning, everybody. Good to see you, and I trust you're well. Some maybe not. Anyway, we're looking at possibly the final, it's echoing all over the place, is that right? I'm being like David, very specific about PA. And could be the last one specifically on this subject of God's grace that we've been looking through. It's a big subject, and so I think we're on session 7. But just really to recap some of the main things, it means, doesn't it, the free, undeserved favour and goodness of God on our lives. Don't have to pay for it. It's totally free. Grace is, it's like something that's imparted to us. All the letters in the New Testament at the beginning start with grace and peace to you. It's like something comes to us and it's the presence, the goodness of God starts to operate and work in our lives. If there are areas in our lives that we lack in, for example, if we are overmuch in terms of perhaps being bold and a bit aggressive, then Jesus is the Lamb of God. And from the fullness of his grace, we each receive grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. So whatever we lack, the grace of Christ comes to us. We receive it. Similarly, if we're a bit timid and find it difficult to say boo to a goose, and it's an area that we would like to be a little more courageous in, well, Jesus is also the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and that boldness can come to us. So this is all part of God's grace working in our lives. It may have surprised some of us a few weeks ago to hear that actually also the grace of God, we know it's all free and the kindness of God, but it also actually teaches us to say no to ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-controlled lives. It's the grace of God that begins to move us in that direction. It teaches us also and gives us a desire to be generous. And then last week we heard from Joe, if you feel inadequate, if you feel weak, if you feel not up to the mark, good. Because actually God's power is made perfect through our weakness by the grace of God. And so we were hearing all those things. So one last but really quite important aspect of God's grace this morning, the particular aspect of God's grace I want to bring out, is that the grace of God affects what you and I say. It affects how we speak. As a prophet was supernaturally looking hundreds of years into the future in Psalm 45 and verse 2, I think this is the second slide. Yeah, spot on, Alex. Good to have you back from South Africa. Back to the land of the living in the good land. No, South Africa is good as well, sorry. But it's good to have you back. I've got a daughter who's married a South African, would you believe it? And I'm very pleased about that. So, Ty, if you're hearing, I put that in for you. Anyway, my forgiveness about all that. So the prophet, looking ahead, he says, you are the most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace. Now, this is a clear reference to the Messiah, to Jesus. And the first areas seen prophetically in the life of Jesus are his lips. It's the way he speaks. When men went to, when they were sent to arrest Jesus, they went and then they returned, a bit like a ball bouncing back. And when the religious leaders asked these men, well, why haven't you arrested him? And they answered him, no man ever spoke like this man. And there was something about the lips of Jesus, the words that came from him, from his mouth, that spoke volumes and were extremely impacting. So it's the words we speak. And when you begin to experience the presence of God, the life of God, by the grace of God in your lives, it's your mouth that is affected. And what I just want to say, I just want to say something about the power of words. I felt a little nudge, I think by the Holy Spirit, to mention this, about the power of our words. Do you know words literally have the power of life and death within them? On his way to the cross, about a week or so before Jesus was crucified, there was a fig tree, which is symbolic of the people who should have welcomed him and recognized him. But he said to this fig tree, which was not bearing fruit, "May you never bear fruit again." And 2 days later, his disciples were passing by and they noticed that the fig tree had withered from the roots. And the thing was that the words of Jesus were carrying supernatural power to make something extraordinary happen. On another occasion, a good friend of Jesus called Lazarus in John 11 had died. He'd been in the grave 4 days, body starting to smell, you would think, and all that. Jesus came and asked them to roll the stone away. And in a loud voice, he says, "Lazarus, come out." And guess what? Lazarus did not stay in the tomb, but he came out alive. The power of words that carry supernatural enabling. In James chapter 3, he speaks there about the amazing power of our words. He gives little pictures. It's like a bit in the mouth of a horse, that you pull it this way, it goes that way. Pull it that way, it goes that way. It says about ships that are steered, massive ships, by a little rudder. Complete course is set. It says it's like a big forest set on fire by a tiny spark. We're always hearing in California or Australia, aren't we? I think the latest one was New Zealand. Forest fires eating up vast swathes of the countryside. Just a spark. And it's like a word. A word here can be tremendously upbuilding or incredibly destructive, especially if there is supernatural power attached to it. It can corrupt the whole body, James says. Sets the whole course of one's life. Now, have you ever had somebody say something to you which has either been incredibly destructive to you or incredibly upbuilding? Now, Joe was sharing last week and he said about his mum. I only say usually negative, critical things. But his mum over here, right? His mum, oh yeah, she teased out all the good things about me, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And absolutely true. So Joe's mum has said things to him which has been life-giving to him, and that's wonderful. But on the flip side, I bet there are people in here who have had things said to you that have stopped you in your track. And I do actually believe there are people in here who have had words spoken to them that have tied you up, and you're still tied up. I just want to say to you that the Lord wants to say to you this morning, he doesn't want you tied up anymore. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And so those people who are here, and I think you know who you are now. It may only be one person. It may be 4 or 5. I just believe that God wants you to know. First of all, he doesn't want you to be tied up through words that people have spoken over you. It could be a close relative. They're the worst for bad words because they've got the most authority, most influence in your life. A father, a mother who says something awful. Something maybe even they thought wasn't awful, but it actually was. And it's tied you up, held you down, shackled you since then in a particular area of your life. And I want to tell you, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. And he doesn't want you to be shackled or chained or restrained by those words any longer. So in the name of Jesus, if you are here today, I want you to begin a process. And later on, we'll work this through. We'll speak some verses from the Bible. And hopefully, if there's time, we'll sing a song. And we'll pray a prayer of freedom for you over your life. But don't accept the shackles, please, any longer. Because God is here to free you and set you free. It does say in the Bible as well that we need to watch our words, don't we? And this is slide 3, I think. The second part of the verse in the English Standard Version says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace. Give grace to those who hear. You see, we can grace people or we can degrace. And we want to be people who give grace. Because if only for selfish reasons, a generous man will prosper. But it's God's will that we grace one another with being gracious, gracious words. I want to just come back to the specific way that God's grace affects the way that you and I speak. When God's grace begins to work in our lives, what specifically happens to you and me? And it's this simply, and this is slide 4, that I become thankful. So thankfulness is the, really, in a way, the first sign of God's grace in my life. I mean, actually, that was true for me. It's not always, but for me, I was in the Air Force. This is 1978, 3rd of November. I remember the day well. And one of the first things that my mates in the block would realise something weird and strange was happening with Hugh. Our mate Bamba, because in those days, Bamba Gascoigne was the university challenge guy. Anyway, Bamba, I used to call him, hated it. Don't start doing that to me, please. I prefer Gazza, football player. That's more modern, although that's a bit past it now as well. But anyway, the first thing, I stopped cussing and swearing. Effing and blinding me. Air Force, right? And first thing that happened to me, I somehow just instinctively knew, I don't want to do that anymore. I just want to clean myself up. Well, God was on the job. He was doing it. And so that was the first thing actually in my life that was affected. I think the very first thing that I recall that changed was my speech, by the grace of God. Colossians 3 on this slide, I hope. Yeah, spot on, Alex. Thank you so much. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. We were called to peace. Be thankful. And then at the end of that verse, it says, singing to God, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. In the Authorized Version, that word is the word charis, which is the word for grace. And the Authorized Version says, singing with grace in your hearts. What's going on here? Well, grace is the same as thanks. Hang on, I thought grace meant charis, which is, what does that mean? Can you remember? Beauty or pleasure. What's going on here? Well, it answers, have you ever wondered, answers a deep-seated question I've always had. Have you ever wondered why, when you sit down to a meal, some people say, well, let's say grace. What's that about? I want to say thank you. What on earth are you talking about? And the fact is that at the time of Paul, 2,000 years ago, in colloquial Greek, to have grace meant to say thank you. So if someone did something nice for you, you'd say, oh, I'm graced. In other words, I'm thankful. Grace actually, go back to the root, it actually means to be thankful. And in the Romance languages, just hear me out here, in the Romance languages, that is languages that come from Latin, the word for thank you is directly related to the word for grace. Who's been on a nice, cheap package tour to Benidorm? Well, if you go into the pub and it's a Spanish waiter and you want to try and speak a bit of the lingo and he gives you something nice, nice cold beer or whatever, what do you say? Gracious. It's the word for thank you, grace. It means thank you. You go to Italy, a bit more upmarket perhaps. Might get there one day, you know. And you get there and instead of gracias, it's grazie, same word. French. I know, but there's another word. Anybody know the other word in French for thank you? Do you know, Hank? No. Grâce à Dieu. Means, in French, thank you. The point is, the word for grace is the word for thanks. And so, makes sense, isn't it, in my life, that the first thing that would happen would be my words and your words. So we listen, the good news is we've got tremendous ability to do great things. You see, we can pray our words, can't we? Like we have done. We can speak things out. We can grace people with our conversation. And we can speak life and success into people's lives. And I speak life. I want to speak grace over you today. I want to speak success. You're not destined to go down the plug hole. No. You're destined to reign in life. Reign in life through Jesus Christ. Romans 5. And someone who has received the grace of God starts to be a thankful person. I can't help it. How can you not be thankful when you get saved? What does it mean to get saved? I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. I've got everlasting life. Why would I not be thankful? So thanks is a natural result of receiving the working of God in my life. When we read things like God is for us, not against us. When we realize that in all things that God is working for our good. When we hear things like that, how can we not be thankful? And Liz said something actually yesterday as we were walking. No, day before yesterday. So what was that part we went to? Elsham Hall. Never been there before in my life. Quite nice. Nice to see it. There's something nice sort of near Grimsby. I meant National Trust. Sort of nice. There's lots of nice things around here. Lots of nice things. Sorry about that. Slip of the tongue there. There are many nice things. But yes, that's all right. I need to be more gracious in my speech. But anyway, this place, and she said, I was just talking about this, about Thanksgiving, you said, telling her what I was roughly going to do. And she said, oh, yeah, you know, it's true. I mean, if a thankful person, that's what she said. She said, a thankful person, very difficult the very next minute to be a complainer. Isn't it? Very difficult. And it kind of puts us on the right tack. Well, anyway, I just want to come to the effects. Four things about the effect of being thankful. Just that simple thing that the grace of God inspires us to be, which is thankful, or a people who give thanks to God and just give thanks in general. You know, I think a gracious person, how would you define a gracious person? I think they're someone who's often just thankful for what people do for them and are generous. Thankfulness, number one, slide 5. Thankfulness helps me focus on the answer to the problem rather than the problem itself. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says this, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, thing here is, doesn't say for all circumstances. So you say, my cat's just been run over, I'm about to lose my job at the end of the month, my wife's not left me yet, but she says she's going to. I'm broke. In fact, worse than that, I'm in debt. I probably need to see Ellen, who runs CAP. I've just been diagnosed with a not very positive illness by my doctor. So things are not that good, in a way. Well, this verse is not saying, oh, thank you, Lord, that I've got that disease. Thank you, I'm in big debt. Thank you that my wife's about to leave me and my cat's died. No, it's not saying that. What it's saying is in all things, and there's a vast difference. Because, see, you say, well, I've got nothing to give thanks for. Are you alive? Can you breathe? Can you see? Can you think? Then there are things that you can genuinely give thanks to God for, and for other people, for your situation. Whatever you are going through. And therefore, can I suggest a shift? It's called a paradigm shift, actually. Looking at things from a sideways on, looking at it that way instead of that way. God causes and he graces us to be thankful, whatever our situation. Truth is, I'm not well. Or rather, not the truth, but the fact is, because you are well, in one sense, but the fact is, my body is ailing, and I'm really struggling. That's the fact. But the truth is, Jesus said, I will never leave you, and I'll never forsake you, and I want you to know that I am working in all things for your good, irrespective of what you're going through. Yeah, but life's hard and life's difficult, I know, and it feels like I'm going through a fire. It feels like the floodwaters are engulfing me. And Isaiah speaks about that. He says, though you go through the fire, though you go through the flood, I am with you and I will deliver you. I will save you. All who call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Say, well, I'm really not well. I realise that. That's the fact. But the truth, or there are things not well in my life, my marriage, my job, my finances, they're the facts. But Jesus, you see, came full of grace and truth, didn't he? Full of grace and truth. And they're the facts, but the truth and the grace of God is that God is with us. And that God is for us. He's not destined us to be in a situation that where we're crushed. The Bible says no temptation or no trial has seized you except which is common to man. And God is faithful. He won't let you be tried and tested beyond what you can bear. And so, trust him. Trust him. See, in the atonement, what Jesus did for us on the cross, there is the possibility for you and me for supernatural healing. There is the guarantee of a new body, completely healthy in the next life. But there is the possibility of healing. And that gives me hope. If I am ever sick, that gives me hope because, Lord, I can pray. Now, Isaiah is even more definite than that. Isaiah says, by his wounds we are healed. Well, thank you, Lord, that there is this possibility of healing. Thank you, Lord, that some people are even more positive than that and they get healed. Well, thank you, Lord, that they get healed. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you. Thank you, God, that whether I get healed or not, you are good. You want me to reign in this situation, to have all I need to move through my life, to not go down the plug hole, but to rise. So, thankfulness enables us to focus not on our problem, but on God, who is good and who is above everything that we go through in life. And my word to us is to trust God and have faith in him as a good God, and that he wants the best for you and me. The second thing that thankfulness does is it brings peace. Slide 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. And his peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ. I'll just say to you this morning, peace be to you. Do that. Peace be to you. Be at peace and trust the Lord. Third thing, thankfulness brings us into God's presence. This is Almighty God, the omnipotent, that means almighty, all-knowing, omniscient God, who created the universe and holds us together by the word of his mouth. Thankfulness, in Psalm 100 and verse 4, the psalmist says, we enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart, in our lips. So do you want Almighty God's attention? Do you want access to his supernatural enabling? Thanksgiving is the way through to that. And the last thing, thanksgiving is the trigger to miracles. Who needs a miracle here? In one area or another of your life, your marriage, your job, a loved one, I've got a son or a daughter not where they're meant to be, and you grieve over them, and quite rightly. But there's some other area in your life that I've not even touched on, and just because I've not touched on it doesn't mean that God's not concerned or he doesn't know about that, because he does. But what area in your life do you need a miracle? Would it surprise you? It's so that a key to triggering miracles is so simple. So simple. In John 6, Andrew found a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus took hold of them, and after giving thanks, he gave them and fed 5,000. The trigger, the thing that happened just before the miracle, was the thanksgiving of Jesus. In John 11, Lazarus again, I told you about how he said, Lazarus, come out. Just before then, Jesus lifted up his eyes to the Father and he said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. Lazarus, come out. Is that a coincidence? And I love the story of Jonah in the Old Testament, a minor prophet with a big message. And Jonah was running away from God, who called him to preach to Nineveh to turn from their sin. And he didn't want to do it. Like all good preachers, like me, he was running away, you know. And so he ran away and he went down to Joppa to catch a boat. He went down into the hold of the ship to hide away. And then storm blew up and the sailors realized it was him. So they threw him overboard. And he went down. It says those words, down, 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 down. And life feels sometimes, doesn't it, that we're going down, down, down. Yeah? We talk about the blessing of God. But often, say, well, that doesn't square with my experience. I feel I'm going down, down, down. Yeah, but that's not the end of the story. Went down, down, down to the belly of the whale. And then we read about Jonah, about the story. It says, this is slide 9. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. This is an interesting verse. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. God, may I never chase after things that are more important to me than you. If I do that, what I'm saying is I'm forfeiting all the goodness of God that could be mine. I'm forfeiting it. He says, those who clinged, and his idol was not to preach to the Ninevites. It says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, and what's his way through? What's his way out? Where's his step to victory, to breakthrough, to miracle? But I, with shouts of grateful praise, thanks, I'm grateful, God, thank you. I'm in the belly of a whale, I'm dead. I don't think you'd live in the belly of a whale without being dead. And it was a prefiguring of Jesus' 3 days' death on the cross. Yeah. The result, straight after, and the Lord, verse 10, commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry ground, and he was alive, come back to life. What happened just before the miracle? I, with grateful praise, will sacrifice to you, Lord. And it was the key to victory. Now, Liz has a testimony. That is a story of what God has done in her life. You've probably heard it before, but she's going to briefly just how it ties in with this. So,
thank you. When the kids were little, we lived in Llanelli in Wales and were part of a missionary organisation. And while we were there, I was invited to go on a missions trip to the Yemen. And I'd got four kids. Joe was only 16 months old. I'd just finished breastfeeding him, and I really felt that God had asked me to do this, but it was a bit of a... I'd never done anything like that, and the kids, you know, like I say, got four children under the age of 5 and a half, and it was like a massive difference for me to go and do this trip. First time I'd flown and everything. So anyway, when I got to Yemen, this terrible oppression came on me. Even though I was in the will of God, I got this awful, awful fear and oppression on me. And I just felt terrible. And the net result of that was that I didn't want to be alive. And all I wanted was to be dead. But because I was a Christian, I knew that if I was dead, I would be in heaven. And I didn't want even to be in heaven. I wanted to not exist anymore. I couldn't think of anything that was worth living for, not even my children or anything. I've never felt like it before or since. What would happen was, in the morning, this horrible, horrible oppression and fear would come on me, and I could barely function in any way. And then by the evening, it would lift slightly, and in the evening, and I lost quite a lot of weight because I didn't want to eat. I couldn't think of anything that was worth doing, eating anything. I just completely lost all desire to live. And when I got back, it was still on me, and Hugh thought, what has happened to Liz? And he gave me this whole list of, he wanted to help, so he gave me this whole list of scriptures that he felt that I should be confessing. And they just didn't help. And then what I felt was, I mean, I'd been praying a lot, and people were praying for me. And, you know, I spent a lot of time on this trip praying when I could, and just crying out to God, because that's all I could do. And when I came back, the scripture that came to me was, well, it was that old song, actually. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I felt like what I had to do was thank God for the day. And it was the last thing I wanted to do, because I didn't want the day. And I wasn't thankful that he'd given me a day to live. But I felt that that's what I had to do. So I would get up in the morning, and all I could say was, thank you, God, for this day. Which may not seem very powerful, but believe me, that was very, very hard for me to say. And I really believe that that's what brought the breakthrough. And after a few weeks, God just set me free. I mean, there's a whole story to it, but God completely set me free. So much so that I find it hard to believe that I was ever under this kind of oppression. And I was just completely set free. And all I could do was thank God. That's what brought the breakthrough, thanking God for the day.
I wonder if it'd be all right if we could stand. And what I'd love it if we could do is this is slide 10. Make some verbal. Just stay seated if you can't stand or you prefer to sit. That's absolutely fine. But if we can make some confessions here. Confession means to say the same thing as our mouth, as God says in his word. And these are scriptures. And why don't we, let's start to give thanks. Now, I wonder if Pete's going to lead us then in a song of thankfulness. Because the thing is, you see, we can pray, which we will do, but there's nothing like actually doing it yourself. So what is your need today? What do you need breakthrough into? What do you need breakthrough into for someone you love that you're concerned about? What do you need this morning? Well, the key to release for you is to begin to thank and praise the living God. So let's say it first, and then Pete's going to lead us in a song. But I'm just going to pray first, if I may. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We give you thanks today, Lord. And I pray for each one of us here, Lord. I pray for your people. I pray for those individuals who have had words spoken to them that are negative and destructive, and bind them. In the name of Jesus, be released from that. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I look to you for those of us who have really been down in the dumps, who have really felt the going down a whirlpool, down, 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 like Jonah, down to Joppa, down in the boat, down in the whale. Lord, reverse that. Lift us back up. Lift us back up. Lift them back up today in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that as we declare these words and we sing these words of truth, words of the Bible, that Lord, you will work that miracle. Bring us into breakthrough. Bring us into a new day, a day of sunshine, a day of springtime, a day of life, not death. A day where we can find answers to our problems, not be consumed and buried beneath them in Jesus' name. So let's have a look at Psalm 107, verse 5. Just follow me, please. Let's give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Speak it out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. Next slide. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you. For you have upheld my right and my cause, sitting enthroned as the righteous judge. Amen.